about Hannah's miracle baby. Hannah's miracle baby. Of course, his name was Samuel. Samuel was born during the time of the judges. He's the last, actually, of the 12 judges. The judges were, they were spiritual leaders and military leaders. You can read about all of the judges all throughout the book of Judges. And then when you get to 1 Samuel, this is kind of the transition from those days of the judges moving into the days of the kings. And Samuel is the last of those judges. But he's also a prophet. And so you can see how that Samuel was a miracle baby that God moved for Hannah and gave to Hannah the desire of her heart. Amen. Let's read here in 1 Samuel chapter 1. There was a certain man of Ramathlon, Zophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, and Ephraite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. When the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after that they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaiden for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel shall grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Amen. Samuel's name means ask of the Lord. And he was a daily reminder to Hannah that God heard her cry, that God answered her prayer. I mentioned that Samuel was the miracle baby that God gave to Hannah, and that he was a prophet. He was a judge, the last of the judges, and he was in tune with the voice of God from the time he was a little child. He heard the voice of God when Eli the priest didn't hear God's voice. Eli should have been in tune with God, but Eli and his sons were backslidden. They didn't hear the voice when it was their calling, their responsibility to hear God's voice. But this little child, Samuel, heard the voice of the Lord. He was in tune with the voice of the Lord. Samuel was not only a judge, not only a prophet, but he also became a kingmaker. He was the one that anointed Saul, the first king of Israel. He was the one that anointed David, the second king of Israel. And so Samuel played a very important part in this transition from a theocracy to a monarchy, to where there were now to be kings. They were asking for a king. They said, we want to be like all the other nations. We want to be like all the other nations. They have a king. And in a sense, they were rejecting God as their real leader. And it was just because they wanted to be like everyone else. You know, that as the people of God, as the nation of Israel, they were not called to be like everybody else. They were called to be a distinct people, a separate people, a different people. And you and I, as born-again Christians today, we are not called to be like everybody else, or not to be like the world or the world system, but we are to be separate, different, a people that's called out and bear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're to be a distinct and a godly people. Amen. And there are many, many, many trials and problems that occur because they rejected God as their king and they wanted to have a human earthly king. This story, though, begins with a certain man. It says a certain man by the name of Elkanah. A certain man. This man, you know, God just, he just uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Amen. Aren't you glad that he does? Amen. Because we're all just kind of common and ordinary people, but if the hand of the Lord is on your life, if you sense the touch of God upon your life and the call of God upon your life, God can use you as an ordinary, common person to do some pretty amazing things. Praise God for that. Amen. Elkanah wasn't perfect. He was flawed. You notice there that he had two wives. Big mistake. Anywhere in the scripture where you see that they had more than one wife, there was trouble in the household. There was problems in the household. Because God's plan was never that there be more than one. It's the plan of God. We're all to be. Amen. It's the call of God that we be one man, one woman for life. That's really the ideal. That's the plan of God. I understand that there's divorce and there is broken homes and families and innocent people involved and tragic things like that. I understand that that happens, and it's all a part of the enemy's attempt to destroy the family and God's plan and God's ideal for the family. Genesis, it's clear in Matthew's gospel, it's clear that there's to be one man and one woman for life. Amen. That's the plan of God. Amen. And we need to strive to see that taking place. But because Hannah was barren, just like it was in the case of Abram that we talked about last week, He took on another wife in order to have children. And she was able to have several children. She had sons and daughters, it says, but Hannah was barren. Now, Hannah probably could have endured it if it hadn't been for the fact the Bible says she became Hannah's adversary. She provoked her day in and day out. She flaunted the fact, look here, I've got babies. I've got children. You don't. I'm blessed. You're not. And so she provoked her. But Hannah's name means grace. Grace. And even though she was barren and she was struggling with the grief of her barrenness, yet somehow she was able to come through this terrible, trying situation in her life. And God was faithful to her in the end to give her the miracle baby, Samuel. Amen. This woman was her adversary right in her own house. Can you imagine it? A daily reminder of her weakness, her failure. In the Hebrew culture, it was considered like a curse upon a woman if she couldn't have children. So she had the weight of this burden upon her day in and day out. But somehow, by the grace of God, she came through this terrible experience. And I just wanted to speak to you today because it may be that some of you are dealing with circumstances in your life that are, well, trials, but even beyond just a trial. We all have trials, but sometimes people have trials that are like fiery trials, meaning it's an all-consuming thing. It means when you wake up in the morning, it's on your mind. Throughout the day, it's weighing heavily upon your mind. When you lay down at night, you're dealing with the concern, the worry, the burden of something that is weighing heavily upon your heart. And so I want to speak to you today because that was the kind of circumstance that Hannah was in, where she could never forget the weightiness of the trial and the burden that she was going through. And so some of you here in this service today, whatever it may be illness, it may be family issues, problems, it could be financial things, it could be all kinds of concerns and burdens that are weighing heavily upon your mind. Maybe unsaved loved ones, family, friends, or people that you're concerned about. It's an all-consuming burden that's weighing heavily upon your heart. How can you get to the other side of that burden? How can you go through that? Well, Hannah was able to do that, and I believe that she is a model for us to see how she did that, how she made it through her fiery trial, crushed and grieving through the circumstance that she was in. So I want to give you four things in the life of Hannah, if you're a note taker. Four things about Hannah. Number one, Hannah was loved. Hannah was loved. Now, I know that Elkanah was maybe a little bit misguided here in what he said, because he said to her, I don't know why you're not eating. I don't know why you're crying. Why are you so upset, so grieving? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? And you notice she doesn't answer. She actually just leaves the room. She just walks away. Because that wasn't the right answer, really, that she needed. She needed to hear that. He was well-intentioned, and I do believe that he sincerely loved Hannah. He loved her. The Bible says that he gave to her a worthy portion. It just means a double portion. What he had given to his other wife and children, he heaped a double portion upon Hannah because he loved her. He loved her. And so she got through her fiery circumstance, her grief, her sorrow, because she was loved. Amen. And I just want to encourage you that may be going through some terrible, difficult thing today, some real difficult trial. I want you to be reminded today that you are loved. Amen. You are loved. You're not alone. You're loved. The Lord cares about you and what you're going through. Amen. Jeremiah 31 and 3, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Deuteronomy 33 and 27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. You're loved. Amen. You can make it through the circumstance of your trial and your burden because the Lord cares about you. But not only the Lord, certainly the Lord cares and he loves you. But when you come in among the body of Christ, when you attach yourself to the people of God, the body of Christ, then you come into a group of people that also will love you. They'll take care of you. They'll minister to you. Let me tell you, most every family here in this place, you've gone through losses. You've lost loved ones, people dear to you. And I know what happened when that sadness came, when that loss came, the family of God, they came to your rescue. They surrounded you. They ministered to you. They loved you. They poured out their compassion and their love for you. And so right in the body of Christ, not only is it true that we have the love of the Lord, the everlasting love of the Lord, but we have the love of the body of Christ and the people of God. You can make it through your crushing, difficult circumstance that you are in because you're loved. Amen. Hannah was loved. Praise the Lord. Number two, let your circumstance, let your trial drive you to the Lord Jesus. And that's what Hannah did. She didn't become embittered, but she would regularly go to the Lord year after year after year. Even though her adversary was provoking her and she was being, you know, grieved by all that she had to say, she kept going back to Shiloh. She kept going back. When you look in this text, you'll see all the different places where Hannah was praying. Hannah was a praying person year by year, it says in verse 7. She wept before the Lord. In verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord. In verse 11, she said, Lord, look on my affliction. She said, remember me, Lord. She said, forget not your handmaid. In verse 12, she continued praying before the Lord. In verse 13, she spake in her heart before the Lord. In verse 15, she poured out her soul before the Lord. In verse 16, it says, out of the abundance of her complaint and grief, as she spoken or cried out to the Lord, she faced her trying circumstance by going back to the Lord again and again and again. She poured out her soul before the Lord. Amen. I just encourage you today, don't get bitter. Don't turn away from God. Run to the Lord. Pour out your heart before the Lord. Cry out to the Lord in your time of trial and difficulty. And just know that God is going to help you. Amen. He's going to minister to you. Do you understand that if there had not been a Peninnah in her life, there might not have ever been a Samuel? Her adversary was a motivator to her to cry out to God. Amen. Sometimes your worst trying situation should motivate you to run to the Lord, to cry out to the Lord, no matter how difficult the circumstance might be. Amen. So let your trial drive you to the Lord. Understand that through all the things you go through, like the song that Jonathan sings, I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he could solve them. I never know what faith in God could do. Amen. Amen. Let your troubles, let your burdens drive you to the Lord, to cry out to the Lord, and let the Lord minister to you. You see, Eli, the priest, He was so out of touch. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't understand that she was praying and calling on the Lord. He thought she was drunk. He should have understood. This is a woman in deep intercession, crying out to the Lord. She said, "No, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have not drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I'm pouring out my soul before the Lord." Amen. Allow the Lord, allow your circumstance, your trial, your burden to cause you to run to the Lord with your whole heart and to cry out to the Lord. Number three, Hannah's perseverance, her perseverance. She trusted in God no matter what anybody else said. Now, I know a lot of people are well-meaning. I believe that Elkanah was well-meaning. But what he said really wasn't much comfort to you. He said, "Look at me. Look at me. Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" She really didn't want to hear that. Sometimes people are well-meaning. He tried to comfort her, but wasn't able to. Sometimes you have to look beyond people. Sometimes there's people that may be well-meaning, but you have to look beyond that. You have to persevere. She had her husband who tried to comfort her. She had Penina who provoked her, causing her to fret, reminding her every day and night of her weakness and her failure. And then Eli. I mean, he's supposed to be the man of God. All these people misunderstand her and misjudge her. "Why are you drunk?" he said. He didn't understand. Sometimes people can't understand what you're going through. They just can't understand what you're dealing with. That's why you have to get beyond the people. Amen. Remember when Zacchaeus, he wanted to see the Lord. He desired to see the Lord. And it was the crowd that kept him from seeing Jesus. He had to climb up into that tree so that he could get a glimpse of the Lord. And it was life-changing. Remember the woman with the issue of blood that she couldn't get to Jesus. She had to get down on her hands and knees and crawl and make her way through the crowd. It was the press of the crowd, the throng of the crowd that kept her from getting to Jesus. A lot of times, well-meaning people can discourage you and hinder you. You got to persevere. You got to push through the crowd until you get to the Lord. Amen. And don't allow anyone or anything to hinder you or stop you. Just persevere. Be determined. I want to get in the presence of the Lord. If no one else is, I'm going to press through. I'm going to push through and touch the Lord. Amen. Number four, worship the Lord while you wait. Worship the Lord while you wait. The Bible says, so Hannah went her way and she ate. Her countenance was no more sad, and all that she had was a word from Eli. She got a hold of that word, a word from the Lord, and that caused her to worship even when she had no evidence that anything was changing. There's no evidence at all that God was changing or the circumstance was changing at all. She just heard from the Lord. And I have to tell you, there's been a number of times over the years of my life when I had no evidence that God was moving, but I got a word from God. I heard from the Lord. I got a hold of something I could hold on to, and I held on with all of my might, trusting that God was going to come through in the promise of God. She worshiped while she waited. Verse 19, they rose up early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Before the answer came, she held on to the promise of God. Amen. Amen. And God came through for her. Amen. Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope. Praise God. Amen. Get a hold of a word from the Lord. Hear from God. Get in his word. Allow God to give you a word of hope, a word of confidence. Amen. And then know with certainty that God is going to keep his word. He is a covenant-keeping God. He will keep his God. Just go ahead and worship the Lord. If you hear from God, even if there's no evidence that he's working in your life circumstance, go ahead and thank him for it. Praise God for it. Believe that God can work in that impossible situation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Came to pass. When the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel. Ask of God. Ask of God. Because I have asked him of the Lord. And they worshiped the Lord. When you read on there in verse 21, Elkanah and all of his house went up unto to the Lord yearly and worshiped and kept the vow that they had made, that Hannah had made, that she was going to offer him to the Lord, give him to the Lord all the days of his life. Praise God. Amen. What a miracle for Hannah. What a miracle for the nation of Israel that God raised up a prophet, a Samuel, a kingmaker that could hear the voice of God, that God was going to use him mightily to bring about, bring them through this transition from the time of the judges to the time of the kings. God was going to mightily use this miracle baby. Praise God. Amen. And I just wanted to take this time to encourage you today, because I just felt in my heart that there might be some of you going through some circumstance that, and you're just overwhelmed with it. It's what you think about when you wake up in the morning. It's in your mind throughout the day, and when you lay down at night, you're heavy. There's a heaviness upon your mind and your heart because of some need or some circumstance, and that you can believe God to work in your situation. You can trust in the Lord to keep his word and to keep his promises. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of your word. Thank you, Lord, that you can provide for your people, Lord, in impossible situations. Lord, just as you did for Hannah in her barrenness, Lord, and in her grief, Lord, you came through for her because she sought your face and she was persistent and determined, Lord, to hear the voice of the Lord. She committed her life and the life of her soon-to-be-born child to you, Lord. God, we thank you for the example of the way you can provide in impossible situations. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. I don't know all the needs that are represented here in this service today, but I know that no doubt there are burdens.